Did you notice that hymn said, "In this glad hour"? That's why we sang that. And then it said, "He calls us." That's the subject, the title of this message, the called and the calling. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Go to 1 Corinthians 1 with them. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Read these verses down through here. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on him whom they not heard or believe? How shall they believe in him whom they not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, called? Your pastor was called. Come here. You're blessed to have a God-sent called preacher. He's an apostle of Jesus Christ, a preacher. Christ is the one that sends them, and Christ is their message. Apostle, a preacher of Jesus Christ through the will of God. This is God's will. Everything in. And he mentions this man named Sosthenes. This man, Sosthenes, was a Jewish ruler of the synagogue in Corinth. The Lord saved him. Not many wise men at the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But he called this man by the gospel. And Sosthenes was beaten to a pulp. Paul went there to preach, and they beat this man up for receiving Paul. You think about that. And so he became his fast, long-time brother. Brother in the Lord, brother in affliction. And so are we. Unto the church of God. This is to the God's people. Church of God. Church of God at Corinth. Church of God at Bethel. Church of God at Spring Lake. Church of God at Rocky Mount. Church of God at Fairmont. Church of God. This is to God's people. Word of God to his people. Verse 2. To them that are sanctified in Christ. That means set apart. That means chosen of God. Chosen of God. Put in Christ, given to Christ, called, verse 2, to be saints, called saints. You know, that's what God calls his people more than any name in the scripture. Christian is used three times only, just three times, Christian. Brother is used quite a bit, but saints, all through the scripture, saint. What does that mean? A sanctified one, one that's set apart, one that's consecrated. Given to God, devoted to God. How are we sanctified? Christ. He's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Sanctified by the Spirit. Called saints. I'm looking at saints. Saint Donna. You say there ain't no Saint Donna in the scripture. Oh, yes, there is. Right there she sits. Saint. Saint Ginger. Saint Rebecca, Doug. Ain't no Doug in the Bible. Oh, yes, there is. Saint Paul. Just as much a saint as this Paul, right? People like to call him Saint Paul. Right there sits one. He's just as much a saint as this Paul the Apostle, isn't he? Is Paul a special fella? No. No more so than that Paul. Saint. All that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Everyone God calls, they call. They call on him. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. The name of Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, we don't refer to the Lord, commonly refer to our Lord as Jesus, do we? We don't do it, do we? You know, that's what the world did. It's not the fear of Jesus that's the beginning of wisdom, is it? Nobody fears Jesus. It's fear of the Lord. When Simon Peter found out who Jesus was, he called him Lord. Remember? He thought he was just a rabbi, just a teacher named Jesus of Nazareth, okay? And when he got, Doug, when the Lord got in his boat, and said, cast out, said, cast your net on the right side. Rabbi, we've been doing this all our life. Cast your net away. And he found out that he's Lord of every fish in the sea. He knew every fish by name. He called every one of them in the net. And Simon Peter realized he knows every thought in my head. He knows everything about me. He's Lord of the sea, Lord of the universe, and he's my Lord. And he hit his knees, and what did he call him? Lord. That's what we call him because that's what he is. I never referred to my dad as Henry. You know what had happened to me? What had happened to you, Johnny, or Tommy, if you... Hey, Ed, come here. Eddie, I'm calling you. Woo, doggies. Everybody in North Carolina was doggies. No. The fear of the Lord. My father, I called him Dad, an affectionate term, but I didn't call him Henry. And we refer to our Lord Jesus Christ as he is, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what distinguishes him from that other Jesus. Jesus wants this, Jesus wants that. He's outside your heart. My Jesus Christ, my Lord Jesus, not standing outside my heart's door. He's seated on the throne. How about your bit? Oh, so he says in verse 3, and he's your Lord, isn't he? Their Lord and ours. Verse 3, grace unto you. What a gift. What a gift of God's grace is faith to know him. This is life eternal. Eternal life's a gift. Salvation's a gift. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. God who is God. You know him, don't you? Most of you, many of you know him. And Jesus, what? Christ, whom thou hast sent. That's grace of God, isn't it? Oh, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, which is Christ the Lord, and peace from God our Father. Some of you were in religion, false religion, and you probably made your peace with God, didn't you? Anybody do that? Anybody here make your peace with God? Did you, Craig? But God brought you to hear the gospel, sent a preacher to you, and made you realize you didn't make peace with God. You can't. You know who made peace for you, don't you? Jesus Christ. How? By the blood of his cross. There is no peace otherwise. God is angry with the wicked every day. He's only at peace with anybody through the blood of Christ. Those that come to God by Christ, God has, he's at peace with them. Propitiated. You know what that means. Sins are covered, forgiven for Christ's sake. Grace unto you. Oh, peace from God, our Father. God's not the father of all mankind. You know that, don't you? He's not every man's father. He's the father of his people, whom he adopted, chose, who are born of God, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. They're born of God. What a gift to hear this, to know this, and believe. From God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf. I thank God for this church. Paul always thanked God for every church. He said, I'm bound to give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, for love. Because, why? Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll hear preachers everywhere thanking people for coming to church. Your pastor doesn't do that, does he? Thank people for coming to thank God? It's our reasonable service. It's a privilege. It's an honor. We're not worthy to do it, but God brings us to realize that by his grace, by Christ's sacrifice, we are what we are, that we're here. And so we're bound to give thanks to God always, not man, God. Oh, thank you for accepting Jesus. That's utter blasphemy. So he says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God given you by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. In verse 5, he says, in everything you're enriched by him. You know, if you have a home and food in your refrigerator and food in your cupboard and a car, you're rich. You're rich. Two things I thank the Lord for quite often is hot water. If you have hot water, you're rich. You're rich. What was the other one? I forget. The gospel, more than anything. But we're all rich, increased with goods, aren't we? But really, we're poor and needy. What do you need more than anything else? Who do you need? One thing needful. Most people don't know it. But we do, don't we? We need Christ. We've got all this. And Christ too. My, we're enriched. We're rich. If you believe Christ, you're rich in the faith. If people don't have any faith, God's given you great faith. And you've been here a long time, you too. Long time, 100 years. Yeah, he's old as Moses. But, you know, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and it grows by hearing. You've been sitting here a long time, and your faith has grown. You're rich in the faith. How blessed a man is to be rich in the faith. Somebody said, my wife quoted this, that, you know, we had a neighbor, multimillionaire. She hated the gospel. She hated me. She hated us. Didn't she? Hated the gospel. Didn't want to hear it. Brought her to hear it. She came. She hated it. She's Catholic. And Mindy said, she's so poor, all she has is money. That's all she has, money. Oh, we're rich in the faith, don't we? You believe God, you're rich. Beyond our understanding, rich. He goes on to say, you're enriched by him in all utterance. Somebody asked you what the gospel is, you could tell them, couldn't you? Not many in here would call themselves a preacher. But you know who the Lord your righteousness is, don't you? Huh? Couldn't you tell somebody? Couldn't you tell somebody why you're saved? You know about God's election, choosing people. You know how few people know that? You know how few people believe that? In all utterance, male and female. We've got some ladies that know the gospel so well. If ladies could be preachers, they'd be the best preachers coming and going. Right there sits one. Can tell the gospel, can tell people the gospel. You know how few people know the gospel or love the gospel or hearing the gospel? You're so blessed, enriched by him in all utterance. You can tell people who you believe, what you believe, and why you believe. Can't you, sister? Sister. How blessed. How blessed. Yeah, a fellow one time asked another fellow, he said, where you go to church? He said, we go down here. First Baptist Church, heretics. He said, what do you believe? He said, I believe what my preacher believes. He said, what's your preacher believe? He said, believes what the church believes. He said, what's the church believe? We all believe the same thing. I asked, there's a fellow in our neighborhood was going around door to door, going to start a church. That's the last thing we need, one of those places. Going to start a church. I said, what do you preach? Said the Bible. I said, what do you mean you preach about? Everybody says that. What are you preaching about? Well, God's word. I said, what do you preach? If I asked you what your pastor preached, what you say? Somebody give me a word. Christ. That's not just a saying. That's what we do, isn't it? That's what your preacher preaches. Why? Because Christ is all. That's all we do. That's all we preach. Oh, you're so rich. Because in him are the unsearchable riches. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Do you know how few people know that or care? People, yeah, let's go on to other things. Tommy Parker, you're so rich. richest man on earth. Right? My dad preached a message. You want to hear a good message? If you don't think this is, turn this on. He said, the title of it was, I'm the richest man on earth. The richest man on earth. Enriched by him. In all utterance, in all knowledge. You know him, you've got all knowledge. You have the mind of Christ. The testimony, verse 6, of Christ. The record of God, the whole word of God is a testimony of Christ, testifies of Christ. The Old Testament says somebody's coming. The gospel says he's here. The New Testament, the epistles say he's coming again. The revelation, he's coming again. It's all about Jesus Christ. Testimony. See, it was confirmed in you. Not to you. In you. Paul said, I was saved when it pleased God. And please God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son, how? In me. Christ in you is the hope of glory. That is a love for Christ, a true heart faith, not head faith, heart faith in Christ. You know, you could say the gospel in two words, and it's all through Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, it's all through. The gospel is to be found in Christ. In Christ. You know what that means? If I'd ask you for an illustration, I believe you'd say this. The Ark of Noah. Ark of Noah. Very simply. Who was saved? Who's saved? Those in the ark. Who's lost? Those were not in the ark. Right? How'd they get in the ark? Huh? How'd they get it? Did Noah go out there and say, oh, lions, please come. I want you to come. Lions don't. Wild creatures, they got to tame them. He had to go out and get them, didn't he? Bring them in the ark. And they were shut in. What? Oh, that I might be found in Christ. You know what that means. Sister, you know what that means. You know how rich you are. Say, I don't have much faith. Oh, hold on now. If you believe Christ is all, you've got all faith. That's the essence of faith. Strong faith. You're just as saved as Moses. You know that Christ is all. Confirmed in you. You keep hearing this gospel. What God's doing is confirming it in you. Confirming it. Some of you nodding your head. And you know what I'm going to say before I say it. You've heard it so many times. God keeps confirming it to you. Used to, well, still preaching Crossville, Tennessee. But there was a man down there named Floyd Bourne. Oh, what a dear man. Wasn't he a dear man? His wife, Eleanor, and the Lord saved all three of his daughters. And his son now, all of his children, his whole half. But Floyd was a former three-wheel preacher, okay? And he knew the scriptures. He knew them, the letter. He could quote them. Well, the Lord saved him through Brother Donnie's preaching. And, oh, he loved the gospel so much, he wanted to preach. And Johnny just didn't call on until years later. But I remember preaching there, and I'd be preaching, and I was going to quote a scripture, and Floyd finished it for me, out loud. Well, this happened several times. Finally, one time I was got down there, and I started to quote. I said, Floyd, I want to tell this. Stop. See, the word of God was in him. And it came, whatever, out of the abundance of the heart. What? Mouth speaketh. Because help us speak the things we've seen and heard, right? It's confirmed in you. See that? You tell what you know. You tell what you love. You tell who you love. And that's Christ. It says in verse 7, you come behind and no gift. What gift? This gift, the gift of faith and love and understanding. What are we doing? Why are we here? We're here to worship. We're here to hear the word of God. Verse 7, we're waiting. We're worshiping and we're waiting. Sister Judy, we're waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what we say? Come quickly. If it wasn't for some lost loved ones that we have a burden for, we'd say, come today, Lord. Come right now. Come get us. Take us home. No. The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Some people don't want him to come. People in the world, they like this world just fine, want to stay here. Their secret thought is they're going to live forever. Never think about dying. They sure don't want the Lord to come and end all this. We're waiting on the coming of the Lord. He's our husband. If he's your husband, you're waiting on him. Who shall also, verse 8, confirm you unto the end. If you belong to him, you're going to keep hearing the gospel to the end. That you may be what? Blameless. How are we going to be blameless for holy God? How can God be just and justify us sinners, huh? How many times have you heard that? How many times? 5,433 times. And you keep hearing it. Why? He's confirming this in you. Blameless. The only one is able to present us faultless before the holy presence of God. He's able. And he's going to present all his people holy, blameless in his sight. How? One word. Come on. One word. Tell me. How? Christ. Christ. In him. In him. Blameless. In the day of our Lord Jesus Christ when he's revealed. In verse 9, he says, God is faithful. God is so faithful. Oh, he's faithful to his people whom he loves and he keeps by his power. He keeps calling and keeps bringing and saves them eternally. By whom you were called by God unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Fellowship. Johnny last night sitting in his chair, he was thanking God for the fellowship that we have. And it's precious, isn't it? And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son around the gospel. There was a time that I was not in that fellowship. The prodigal son, I didn't. There was nothing I wanted. I didn't want to be in God's house. With God's people, I had other friends, companions of the world. But God brought me into the fellows. Bunch of fellows in the ship. Fellows in the ship. Christ Jesus. That's where I want to be. This big place is sinking. You know, there were two ships that most everybody in the world knows about. The Ark of Noah, everybody believes that's just a fantasy, fairy tale, an allegory. The Titanic. Isn't that something that people still have an obsession with, the Titanic? They make movies about it and they romanticize it. People died. Most everybody on that ship died. There's two ships, one man-made. They said the world can't sink it. Nothing can sink it. First trip. Down she goes. And everybody's anybody is on that ship. Sunk. And God had a ship made, the ark, and brought his people in that ark, on that ark. And you know good and well, you know everybody on the top side of earth that came to see that, like they're going to see that thing in Kentucky. Don't do it. It's an image. Don't do it. But people came to see that ark that Noah was building from all over the world. Everybody's curious. And they came to see it, didn't they? And I guarantee you that everybody to a man, to a woman said, that boat won't float. It's the only one that did in the history of man. And when it was all over, what you saw when God sent that deluge of his wrath and covered every man and everything that man had ever done, it was one thing right that rose above it all. The only thing you could see when it was all over, it was that ark. And that ark is Jesus Christ.
And only those in him are saved from this deluge of God's wrath. That's no fairy tale. It's the truth. The fellowship. I love that word. I don't use that carelessly. I go to eat somebody and we just eat and never bring up our Lord. I don't call that fellowship. Fellowship's around the gospel. Fellowship's around the gospel. And we were called. Now, let me just give you 3 points. Did you notice that was my introduction? Don't worry. Did you notice one word that kept sticking out here? Paul called to be an apostle, verse 2. To them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, to all in every place, call upon the name of the Lord, verse 9, by whom you're called. Do you notice that? And down in verse 26, you see your calling, brethren, brother Lord. Let me just talk to you a few minutes about this, okay? God calls his people to be saved. He calls them. The call of God. Thanks be unto God who called us by his gospel. My sheep hear my voice. It's the gospel call. Everybody knows what it means to call, don't you? Or be called. First thing it means is to cry out. Call. Call. Okay. Hey! I got your attention there. Hey! He told Isaiah 55. Ho! Everyone at 30. God calls people by his word. He doesn't call out loud. He calls by the word. He calls by the gospel. That's how he calls. He cries out. He told his preacher, lift up your voice. Lift it up with strength. Say unto the cities, behold your God. All flesh is grass. Call. Call. It means to cry out. Look at Proverbs 8 real quickly. Proverbs 8. Look over here. Proverbs 8. You know, everybody's heard the gospel call. There's a general call and there's effectual call. Everybody's heard the gospel. Everybody has a Bible has heard. Everybody's heard. Paul said that. Have they not heard? Yea, verily, the sound's gone throughout the earth. So look at Proverbs 8. Look at it. It says in verse 1, doth not wisdom cry? This is Christ. Understanding put forth her voice. Her? Yes, he does it through the church, through preaching. She standeth in the top of the high places, by the way, in the places of the path. Preachers have preached everywhere. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the door. Unto you, O men, I call. My voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple. Understand wisdom, ye fools. Oh, you're not supposed to call people a fool. That's what God calls us. A fool has said no God. Now, you're not going to know God until he calls you by his word, by his voice. Verse 6, here I will speak of excellent things. The opening of my lips shall be right things. Righteousness, truth, peace, joy, salvation. But people have ears to hear and they won't hear. There's a general call. A general call, and everybody's heard it. And then there's effectual call. There's an effectual call. We talk about when we phone people. You call them on the phone. That's what we call it. I'm going to make a phone call. Well, do you make a general call? Do you? There used to be party line. My grandmother, grandfather had lived in a little house in the country in Tecumseh, Georgia. Had a little general store and a nail keg, men paid checkers. And they had one of these party lines on the wall, you know, and Sarah, get me. Really? And everybody as anybody could listen to that. Tell her. That's not the call yet. When you call somebody that you intend to talk to,
You call them, don't you, personally. You dial them up, and you call them, say, if they answer, say, Doug, I want to call you. I've got something to tell you, right? This call of God to his people is personal. It's personal. It's particular. And it's effectual. God calls through the preaching of the gospel. We preachers preach. Your preacher preaches. I'm trying to preach now poorly, but it's not up to the preacher. It's up to God to call. We hope we call on men to come to Christ. We call on women to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We call on men to repent, believe the gospel. We call, but only God can call effectually, personally, and powerfully. Only God. We talk to people till we're blue in the face. We talk to our children, and they just won't listen. But if God called, and so you know why we call on God? We call on him to ask him to call them, don't we? We call on him to ask them, Lord, would you save my wife? She doesn't know you. You saved me. You called on me. Lord, would you please call her? Lord, would you please save my son? He doesn't know you. And I was just like him. But you called me by your grace. You called me by your gospel. And I heard you because you called me. Lord, would you call him? I can't make him come. Is that not what we do? Isn't it? Call on the Lord. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. But he calls us by the gospel. We call on him. The word call means to pay a visit. That's a southern term. I'm going to call on. Yeah, you know, we went calling on the Parkers yesterday. If you told somebody from New York that, what in the world are you talking about? Paid a call to visit. Paid a visit, didn't it? To the Parker family. Oh, may the Lord visit. Pay a call. Come to some that don't know it yet. No. He'll do it. He does it. There was a woman all the way up in Tyre and Sidon, the farthest most, the uttermost parts of Israel, on the very fringe of the borders of Israel, up into Gentile land. Our Lord walked all the way up to the Tyre and Sidon, to the uttermost part. And there's one woman who had a daughter that's vexed by an evil spirit. And he went up there to pay a call, to make a visit. And when he left that place, that woman knew him. That girl knew him. There's a man named Jairus who had a daughter. She was dying. And she did die. She was dead. Before that, the Lord said, or Jairus said, Lord, if you'd just visit my house, if you just come to my house, pay a visit to my house, visit my daughter with your mercy and your grace, and you call on her, raise her. She died. And lo and behold, our Lord paid a visit, went to her house, and called Tabitha Rice. She read, and you hath he quickened who were dead. He visited you in mercy and grace. Isn't that what we want for our children? More than anything else. Anything else. Lord, visit us with your mercy. He said, my sheep hear my voice. The gospel is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God. What is the gospel? Been trying to say it ever since I've been here. Let me illustrate it. It's a gospel according to the Scripture. How Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. It's the Old Testament, declared to be the Son of God from the Old Testament. You know this story over in Genesis. A man named Joseph. Remember that? His father, Jacob, loved him dearly. Called him his beloved son. And he was better. Joseph was better than his sorry brother. Okay? Right? He had a coat. He had a covering, he had a robe that distinguished him from all his brothers that the Father made just for him. Now, who's that talking about? Jesus Christ, the beloved Son of the Most High God, righteous in all his way. The Lord's well pleased for his righteousness. Well, Jacob loved these sorry brothers. Because he loved them, he sent this beloved son of his named Joseph down to see of their welfare, to visit them. And he did. He went, sent by the Father. That's what Jesus, God so loved the world out of every tribe, nation, kindred, nation, tongue, and he sent his beloved son, whosoever believed on. Well, he sent this brother down there, and they hated him. They hated Joseph because he was not like them. He's better than them. Because the Father loved him, and they hated him. And they tried to kill him. They would kill him. They would have killed him if God hadn't stopped him. Right? And they did shed blood there that day, like it was Joseph's blood. You know the story. And cast him in a pit, and he was taken captive. They hated their brother, and men hate God, and they hate Jesus Christ, and hate the truth. Now, here's the good news. But God, for his great love, wherewith he loved some of these sorry, no good sons of Adam that hate his son. That was me. Well, they hated his brother, and they would have killed him if they could. Well, man did kill God's son. With wicked hands took and crucified the Lord of glory, but they did what? What God determined before to be done in his mercy and his love and his grace. As a propitiation, as a bloody sacrifice, as a substitute for their sin, as a lamb, he's God's lamb. Behold, the Lamb of God. Killed him. They tried to kill Joseph. Well, later on, these sorry brethren, by the grace of God, by the sovereign providence of God, were brought to Egypt. And lo and behold, somebody was sitting on the throne. Somebody had risen from the pit. Somebody God took out of the prison, out of the dungeon, and set him on the throne. The beloved son, whom the brethren hated, sitting on the right hand of Pharaoh, doing as he will with whom he will. And these sorry sons of Jacob, all of them came. God brought them all, and they were trembling in his presence. And not one of them deserved to be saved. Not one of them deserved to be loved. Not one of them deserved to be spared. But Joseph, rich in love, rich in mercy and grace, revealed himself to those brethren. He said, to them, I'm Joseph, I'm your brother. And they were trembling. Everyone trembled. He's going to kill us. Mm-mm. He didn't come to kill you. He didn't reveal himself to you to kill you. That's what Manoah's wife said. If God was going to kill us, he wouldn't have told us this. You wouldn't have heard the gospel. You wouldn't love it. You wouldn't be smiling right now. And what happened? Joseph raised them up, had them sitting in the land of Goshen. Well, land of Goshen. With him. He said, you meant it for evil. Here's the gospel. You meant it for evil. You hated me, but God did it for good. And now you're mine. I love you. Father sent me for you, and you'll be with me. I'm going to nurture you. I'm going to keep you, my brethren, forever. Oh, what mercy. Oh, what love. Oh, what grace. Oh, what a gospel picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. That's it. The gospel is a powerful call. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It says there in verse 18, he says, the preaching of the cross to them that perish, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. This is what you first heard, wasn't it? It's what you heard. It's what I heard. It's a powerful call. You see your calling, brethren? How do you know you're a son of God? You heard the gospel. You believe the gospel. That's how you know. Give diligence. Make your calling in election sure. Powerful call. Call from death to life, like Tabitha, like Lazarus. Call out of darkness to light. Out of sin, pit, out of religion, which is double darkness. Nicodemus, Saul. You're blind, now you see. Why is it you see the truth in God's word and people look at it and say, I don't see it that way?
He's giving you eyes.
By this powerful gospel come. Deaf hear, the lame walk. There was a time when they never thought they'd see me walk through the house, into the house of God willingly. Here he comes. Here he comes, all the way up the pulpit. No way. No way. Yeah, a way, one way. Power of God. That's it. The gospel's power of God. It's a powerful call. It's a personal call. It's a personal call. You hear the gospel. When our Lord came calling his disciple, he came calling his disciple. He said, Simon, my sheep hear my voice. I call them by name. Andrew, follow me. He didn't ask them, didn't plead with them. He called them. What'd they do? What'd they do? They followed him because it's powerful God. If he calls you, you'll come. James, John, leave your father. Abraham left his father in his idolatry, and they followed God, the living God. He followed him. James, John, leave your boats, leave your net, leave your father, leave everybody, and you follow me. That's the only way. It's God. It's powerful. It's personal. Personal. I can't tell you how many people have said this to me. I felt like you were just speaking to me. You ever said that? You ever thought that when a man preaches the gospel and the Lord speaks to you? Have you ever thought, he's talking to me? That's the way it is. You talk to me, preacher? Yes. One time, Doug, a man came back to the back to greet my dad after his message. He said, you sure stepped on my toes, Dad. He said, I missed. I wasn't aiming at your toes. I was aiming at your heart. I missed. This thing's a heart work, and God's the only one that can pierce the heart, isn't it? The only one that can get through. And that's what we pray. Lord, take an arrow from the arrows of the Lord are sharp in the hearts of the king's enemies, and that's every one of us by nature. Oh, Lord, take an arrow and pierce that hard heart of that young man, that woman. Pierce that heart. And he does. He did me. It's personal. And lastly, it's perpetual. Fancy name for it. It goes on. It keeps going. Powerful, personal, it's perpetual. He continues all your life to call you. You're here today. Why? I've been asking that question. Why are you here? Why are we here? Hear the gospel. Well, hadn't you heard it before? Well, yes, but I got to hear it again. See, who you love, you call. And if you really love them, you keep calling on them. You keep calling them on the phone. You keep calling them in person. You keep visiting with them, don't you? You keep calling them. You never quit calling them. And neither does our Lord. This is how you know he loves you. This is how you know you've been chosen, elect. He keeps calling you by our gospel. I had maybe you've heard this, but it's still a good illustration. I had a dog. And that dog, I chose that dog. I went to a breeder, and there's about 10 puppies. Mindy's with me, and I think we about 10 puppies in that litter. And I didn't stand there and say, any puppy want me? Any puppy want to go home with me? Anybody? You know? No, they want to stay with their mother. You know, they don't want me. But I've set my affection on one of them, Black. He's Black. I said, I want that one right there. And so I chose it, okay? And I bought it. I paid money. Now, really, you dog lovers, I know, Rhonda, you think your dog's worth $1 million. But, you know, really, Bella ain't worth a plug nickel. There's 3 zillion dogs out there. Shouldn't have to pay a dime for a dog. They're being euthanized in a pound all the time. And I paid pretty big money for that dog, okay? I bought it. I chose it. I bought it. And I brought it. I brought it home with me. Brought it home with me. Not any other dog. That dog. I said, you're my dog. My dog. I love you. I chose you. I named him Abner. Abner. Okay? The first thing I did, began to do, was teach it. I taught that dog. Sit. Sit. The Lord's my shepherd. He maketh me to lie down. Sit. In heavenly place. Lie down, Abner. I taught him to lie down. I taught him to come to me. Come to me. When I call, every time I call, if he doesn't, he's going to kill himself. He's going to run off. He's in danger. If I call him, he come to me, he's not in danger. Okay? I called him, and he kept coming. And I never quit calling him his whole life. He'd run off with the other dog. Abner! Yeah. I taught him. And my voice had power. And he'd come, okay? I never quit calling him. One time. And I closed. One time, Mindy came in the house. She had a little dog like Bella. Looked just like Bella. She came in the house and said, there's a pack of dogs outside, and I'm afraid they're going to get Charlie. Little Pitsy. And I walked out there, and sure enough, a big pack of dogs. Some of them didn't have collars on. I was a wild dog, right? Doesn't have a yoke. It's wild. All right? You know what I was going to do? Well, if they come on my property, they're not going to get my dog. Okay. So I started in the house and I looked. Abner was right in the middle of it. My dog. Running with those wild dogs. My dog, right in the middle. I'm getting ready to shoot all of them. I don't love those dogs. They ain't nothing but trouble. And here was my dog that I bought, I taught, I brought, caused to come unto me, right in the middle of them. You know why? He's a dog. Why do dogs act like dogs? Because they're dogs. Why do we act like flesh? Why do we run off? Huh? Why do we get out there and act like we don't know the Lord? Because we're sinful flesh. You know what I did? One word. Come! One dog came at Hope Bank. His head down, tail tucked between his legs. Matt, he sat at my feet. He laid down at my feet, trembling. I'm not going to hurt him. And I love him. I wouldn't have called him. That's going to hurt him. One dog. I called him ever since. And if he keeps calling you by this gospel, he's not out to hurt you. Brother David, David Edmondson always says this, God's out to do you good. He's out to do you good. How do you know, preacher? He called you by the gospel and keeps calling you. Here you come. He out there. Johnny! What do you do? Now, to whom shall we go? Where are we going to go? God must love you. Okay. Lord bless you. We're going to sing a hymn. Where's Ben? Okay.